Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by the Aero Cart by Works. Works is reinventing lifting and hauling with the new Works Aero Cart. Come on down with the Aero Cart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, where heavy loads are easy to lift and haul. It's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. With patented TurboLift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17 pounds. That's easier than spinning the big wheel on the Survivor Price is Right. With two oversized wheels, just like an oversized wheel on the Price is Right, even awkward loads can stay balanced so you'll never strain your back. I've seen clips of people in action on Works.com lifting bags of topsoil, gravel, even refrigerators or appliances, washer and dryers even, Boston Rob, without any help. You can move it all, lift it all, haul it all with the Works Aero Cart. So go to aerocart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping and 10% off. You're the big winner. Go to aerocart.com, AEROCART.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. Come on down to the RHAP recap of the Survivor Price is Right. I'm Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Oh, what a night. What a night for CBS Reality and Survivor and The Price is Right. And Rob is a podcast, and I'm so happy that you guys are here with us live to talk about the show. Let's bring in our panel tonight. Of course, you've heard him a couple times on the podcast talking about game shows. Here he is, the most recent Price is Right contestant that we know that's not a Survivor. We know a bunch of them now. Here is Scott Green. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. We're having my name tag on.
Oh, Scott has his real name tag on.
I got it laminated. I put one of those magnets on it. So
yes.
I can wear it wherever I go. Yeah.
Okay. So very excited to have you on board here, Scott. And we are streaming this live on a Google Hangout if you're listening to the podcast version. And then also here with us, Survivor historian and all around great guy, Mike Bloom.
I don't have a name tag or anything. I do have Sarif Fields under my desk as a lucky charm, just so my connection holds throughout the duration of this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We got so much to talk about here on Survivor Price is Right, the first of three primetime Price is Right specials. We will be having coverage of all three. I'm going to be with you here tonight live for the Survivor edition. We are going to be having also podcast editions of the Big Brother and Amazing Race versions of the Price is Right specials. Those will not be live. Jordan Parhar will host. He will anchor the Big Brother coverage. That will be on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. And then Jessica Leese will be holding down the Amazing Race coverage she will be recording. I'm not sure if it's going to be Wednesday night or Thursday morning, but those will also be coming to you on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. But very excited to get into it. First off, Scott, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Oh, I'm very excited. We have also Survivor Price is Right contestant Matt Forsyth in the chat room. Also, I'm sure we're going to be getting tweets from all these people. So very excited. Very interactive, immersive experience, Mike.
Definitely. And maybe you'll be able to get a long-term retrospective interview with Matt Forsyth afterwards about I'm assuming was like a 6-hour experience and getting in there, getting to stand with Jeremy Collins and yes, give all of three bids and probably sit down in the audience, unfortunately. But great job, Matt Forsyth.
Yeah, I believe actually we're scheduled tomorrow night. Matt Forsyth is going to come to my house a la Shane Powers' funeral and talk about how he is done with The Price is Right. He did not get on stage. That's it. He campaigned for all this time. He's never talking about The Price is Right again. It's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah, but Matt's not going to hold back. He's going to really let the language fly, unlike Shane.
All right. So we are live here, and I think this is going to be a very fun show, of course, that Scott is an expert, a Price is Right strategist. We will talk through all of the strategy, the missed opportunities potentially for the players, who made some good moves and bad moves throughout the games that were involved. And also we will have a lot of fun, a lot of very funny moments from the Survivor Price is Right. And we will talk through all of them. Let's just talk big picture, and then I'd like to sort of talk through the game chronologically about it. So first off, Scott, as a Survivor fan and a Price is Right fan, did this work for you?
Yeah, I mean, you felt it very, very crushed together. They played quick games, so you had a chance to watch Rupert, I guess. Is that a verb?
Yeah, sure. We can go with that.
He was Ruperting around the stage. I mean, they were all Ruperting around the stage, pretty much. And I thought it was a lot of fun. You could really feel, though, that the contestants didn't have a lot on the line personally in the outcome.
You mean the Survivor players did not have a lot on the line? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely. And we'll talk about whether they were helping or hurting the cause for a lot of the people that they were chatting with. And
they were certainly confident, though.
They definitely were. Mike, yeah. How about for you? Did this work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoyed it. I feel like it was a nice, goofy capper to an end of 3 months, arguably 6 months, arguably a year. We've been kind of talking about Survivor constantly since the Second Chance season was announced. There was really not a ball dropped in this summer coverage. So I feel like, despite all the discussions that may have happened and the reactions some contingency may have had to the finale that happened last week, I feel like everyone came out of this a little bit lighter. This is something to really laugh about, to see survivors of old and new come onto the stage and participate in a game show that they're not really comfortable in. It feels like even, you know, whether you played one time or four times, you're all thrown into the same fray. So really, it was a level playing ground, which made things a lot more exciting.
Let's also just set the stage also for people who did not watch The Survivor Price is Right, but are listening to this podcast, which I think that could be maybe half the audience of this show that are listening to this, people that did not watch this show. But so we had The Survivor Price is Right, and the way that it was set up was that there were going to be, it was an audience stacked with Survivor contestants, and I think that they actually did deliver on that. I do believe, and I got the sense that everybody who was there for that show was sort of billed as, hey, if you're a Survivor fan, come down to this taping. Scott, is that what you sensed as well, that the audience was stacked?
Yeah, you saw a ton of buffs out there in the audience. Everybody had their special Survivor shirt.
Yeah,
and I know the way that they cast the show, you had 300 people coming through the line all trying to explain to the casting guy why they were the biggest Survivor fan. So everyone was at their most Survivory they could be.
Yeah, we saw some, like, buffs out of left field. I mean, we saw a Rotu buff. We saw a Bula Bula buff from Survivor Fiji. Like, we had some deep-seated Survivor fans in the audience, which is always nice because when the show sometimes casts super fans, we know that's a very broad term in general.
Somehow The Price is Right did better at casting fans of Survivor than Survivor has actually done casting fans of Survivor.
Exactly. Survivor 36, Fan versus Favorites 3. Just pluck people out. Let's give Matt Forsythe, Donna, Tina's, you know, everyone else's partners that didn't get picked. Let's give them another chance at this game.
Yeah, let the president casting guy cast Survivor. Easy.
That was also the best part of that for me. You know, a lot of familiar faces in terms of like the contestants actually that were there, not the survivors. You know, a lot of people that I've recognized. I feel like I've met almost all of the people who were, you know, the fans that were on there, at least half of them. And so it was that was very nice to see. And we'll get into it. So, all right.
Familiar face and a familiar dress.
Yeah, a very familiar dress.
Has that ever been washed? Or do the signatures all come off?
You would have to ask Donna that question. I may, perhaps it can be dry cleaned, but we'll get there. So the way then we had like sort of like a box. Mike, how would you describe the sort of pen that was holding all of these Survivor players who were being called down?
I would call it, you know, there are some rather cheap supermarkets around where I live, and sometimes when you buy a box of beans, for instance, there'll be some really nice quality beans at the top. Then at the bottom, you'll realize that they just kind of threw in whatever beans they found that they were picking. They might not be of the best quality. That's sort of representative of what we got in terms of a crop of survivors. Not to disparage the great Enna Ma, Christina Cha, other people's names that rhyme with Ah. I mean, they really picked a huge litter of survivor contestants from a number of seasons, but I don't think it's coincidental that those that were picked to come up were some of the biggest faces of the franchise so far.
Right.
No, they were all contacted. That was arranged ahead of time, and they were all paid an appearance fee, those 9 players. Right. And everyone else was like, hey, there's a TV camera, so if you want to come by, there's a TV camera.
Right. That there was a bit of a... There were either people that were there to be on the show, and then people who are there willing to sit there on camera and sit in an audience for however many hours are going to be required to film an episode of The Price is Right. So,
and go out drinking afterwards.
Yes, yes. So that's really how that came down. And what the how that was working was it was going to be people from the audience were going to be playing the games for the prizes, and then they were going to be paired up with a survivor who was going to give them advice, sort of be like a guardian angel on their shoulder. Scott, do you like that format in terms of the Price is Right?
Well, I like that the person who's playing for the prize gets to decide what they're doing for their prize. That you know, that's a good rule that like Wu doesn't get to actually tell you how much the car costs. You just have to try not to listen to Wu. Mm-hmm.
And Mike, did you feel like that this was akin to the Big Brother 14 coaches twist?
Yeah, I was expecting halfway through, and maybe they'll do this tomorrow night. If you know, Drew Carey just says, okay, now you guys are playing to compete against them at the same time. It reminded me, I mean, this feels like something that happened in like an international season, right? Where there was like two sports figures that captained the tribes, and whoever's tribe won got a certain share of money. That's definitely what this felt like. But yeah, like Scott said, I mean, they listened to them with varying degrees. There were some that were asking Boston Rob what products he had bought recently to, you know, somebody just kind of serving as wall candy and standing next to them and looking good for the camera while that person actually made decisions.
Yeah. All right. Also, Jeff Probst is there. I thought that Jeff Probst had a really fun energy for being at this thing. Like, he did not take it seriously. He didn't seem like he was above it. I think like that Jeff really did seem like he was game. Mike, what did you think of the Jeff at the Price is Right?
I mean, we did have to notice that he stood a good, like, 5 feet away from everybody, right? This
right.
is a guy that's used
Don't
to getting
touch me.
Hugged by the dirtiest people that probably exist on this planet. Yet he has to say, like, no, it's in my rider. I got to have a good amount of feet between. I don't know if he's going like Mark Summers OCD at this point. He does hug Latrina at the very end, but I know it's a very deep-seated Double Dare reference. I hope people got that out there. I'm on the game show train. But I think he warmed up into it. I mean, let's also remember, as soon as that wall comes up during Punch a Bunch, he has the weirdest maniacal clown look on his face. I'm jockeying for Jeff Probst to play Joker in the next Batman reboot. He's just like,
he was good. They bring a lot of gimmick people on Price is Right or promoting something for CBS, and most of them are terrible.
Yeah.
Jeff could talk. He had like the right attitude.
He's a professional game show host. I mean, yeah. He's been doing this for a very long time.
But look how awkward Drew was on Survivor last week. So it doesn't necessarily translate.
Yeah.
Well, Drew was even awkward this week, though. I mean, he has to, you know, usually it's questions of like, so what do you do? How much of a fan are you? This time he's like, so Rupert, what advice would you give to her if she was on Survivor? It's like, sorry, dude, you're an improvisational comedian. That's one of the reasons why you got this job, but you are very much out of your element at this point, Drew.
All right, well, let's get into the first contestants row. So we had, the first people that came down. So we had Elise, who was paired up with Boston Rob. Then we had Alyssa, who was paired up with, Latrina that was paired up with Joe?
Yes, the tribe from Survivor Exile Island is back. On the Price is Right.
I want to make sure I have her name right. Latrina? That's what
like,
it was?
Yes, as in,
with an A at the end.
As in, Bruce Kennegai really needed to see the Latrina at one point during Survivor Exile Island.
Yes, okay. So you're going with the Bruce Kennegai reference and not the Joe Del Campo more contemporary reference, Mike?
There's a little bit of recency bias, I know, but Bruce's moment just holds so much more of a place in my heart. Not to disparage Mr. Del Campo, may he exist in peace. I almost said rest in peace. He's not dead. Yeah.
Mike hasn't seen the last couple episodes of the season, so
no, he's not caught up. He's not caught up. It's
no,
on TVR.
He might
be dead, Mike. You don't know. You haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Then we had Thomas Walter, who was paired up with Ceri Fields. Now, interestingly, Thomas Walter, now I recognized from the audience Justin Walter, who, if you have seen any of that, I'm not sure of the actual of the venue, but that he has a podcast with Jerry quite a bit over the years. Very nice guy, Justin. And so from Twitter, that is his dad. If you've ever seen Justin Walter podcasting about Survivor, paired up with Ceri. And then Jessica Shekel paired up with Rupert Boneham, a Rupert sighting.
Oh, boy. And Jessica did not win a lot of shekels, possibly because of Rupert as a result.
Yes. Luckily, Rupert did not have to start off this game at Exile Island. So that was the upside for Rupert. Okay. So we get everybody down to contestants row. And the first item up for bids, Scott, was sort of like a Survivor Tribal Council type fireplace. Good prize or a bad prize for modern day prizes, right? Because me, as a, just in case this needs to be reset, I am a lifelong Price is Right fan. Love the Price is Right. Watched it in, an incredible amount as a kid. But as an adult, really post Bob Barker, I really have not kept up with the Drew Carey version of the Price is Right. And many of these games were, other than Lucky Seven, very unfamiliar territory for me, Scott. I barely knew any of these pricing games. So in terms of the fireplace, good prize or bad prize to kick things off?
That's a terrible prize. I mean, it's you can't exchange it for cash. You have to take the prize if you win it or decline it. So I imagine most of the people in that audience do not want a don't want to pay taxes on a $1,466 fire pit.
But a valuable backyard. Prize. That is a,
oh, it's valuable, yeah. But I mean, it's good in this context because it's not like when I went on the show, I had memorized a ton of prices. So like all the standard stuff, I kind of knew what it was. This is good in that like you can't do that. It's sort of like unbreakable within the game, but. Yeah, congratulations, Jessica. Rupert won you a $4,466 fire table on which you have to pay right off the bat about $300 worth of California taxes just so they can ship it to your house and then you can pay your federal taxes.
Boy, Scott, you know, a real negative Nancy right off bat.
Well, I'm in the process right now of trying to figure out where to put a game table in my house.
Yeah, so Scott,
I'm a little deep in it right now.
For people who did not catch the last podcast that you were on with us, could you just give us your own Price is Right backstory?
Yeah, this is 2 days after we did the podcast with Brent and Jessica Lease about game shows and getting on game shows. The spark of which was that I was going out to LA and wanted to get on Price is Right and wanted to find an excuse for Brent to tell me how to do that. So 2 days later, I went in, I got on the show, I got called down in the Rupert spot all the way to the fourth podium and got right up on stage. I won myself a motor scooter and a desktop PC. I won a game table in my one bid. I spun a 90 on the wheel and then the rest of it is not important.
I stopped watching at that part. Don't spoil it for me.
Yeah, but Mike has that DVR also.
Those 15 minutes DVR.
When you win any kind of vehicle, actually on the West Coast, it was preempted by Prince's death, I think. I think it was Prince who died that day. So on the West Coast, they never saw if I lost the showcase or not. So we don't need to talk about it. But when you win a vehicle, you get one of these license plates that says winner on it. So even though it wasn't a car, I get to have this forever and ever. It's going to go up on the wall along with my my name tag. And I won a little bit of money in my game. So this is the check for the money minus the taxes that they took out. So. That's more valuable than the prizes, which are all being sold. So if anybody in the Chicagoland area does want a Kimco-like 200i motor scooter, okay. Scott does magic on Twitter.
All right. So then let's get into, okay, so the bidding in the first round was a little odd. So, okay, so Boston Rob and Elise, they started off with $1,200. Okay, good. Okay, nobody knows how much this fire table costs. Okay. Now, Joey Amazing and Latrina, while they would get their act together by the end of the night, Scott, how terrible of a bid is $1,150 here after a $1,200 bid has just been placed?
It's no $1,199, but it's pretty bad. You're giving yourself a range from $1,150 to $1,199. So you've only got a $50 range to work with. Bidding on Price is Right is about creating a range. Like the ideal way to place a bid on the show is to place a bid that gives you like a 1 in 4 chance of creating a range that you can be in. So the first person should, this is getting technical, but the first person's bid should be approximately what they think about a quarter of the time the amount will be higher and 3/4 of the time the bid will be lower so that there's no game theory incentive for someone else to outbid them by $1. So you're creating these ranges. So when you're the second person, you're creating a range now, a $50 range where your chance of being right is like 2 or 3%. I mean, it's a very small chance. Terrible bid. But not as bad as the next bid, because when Suri and Thomas bid 1201, there's essentially like Rupert and Jessica can bid $1 or 1202. And you're always going to bid 1202 in that spot, because if it's lower than 1200, you get another chance, or lower than 1150, you get another shot to bid anyway if everybody goes over. So Rupert and Jessica take the range from 1202 to infinity, and the fire table is 4,000. And
so what should the Suri and Thomas bid be in that spot?
They should be, well, presuming some knowledge of what this item is worth. I mean, usually items are worth a lot more than contestants bid. Like, usually the winning bid is the highest bid. So if you really don't know something like this, make a really high bid and give yourself a chance that other people think it's too high. Bid 2,000, 2,100, something like that. And there's a good chance that Rupert and Jessica will not go above you.
Okay, but Rupert and Jessica do bid 1,202. They are the winners, and they come up first. And here is Rupert. And we're going to play the Lucky 7 game, which, of course, I remember well, where you are given $7. You can't be off by more than the $7. You get charged $1 for every number that you're off. But I am waiting for this prize, which is going to be a Jeep. I'm still waiting Ryan Elder to send me in a new jingle for the Rupert Jeep game. The Jeep, Jeep. Rupert's Jeep.
It's not as important as the Price is Right know-it-all jingle we also didn't get.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. Scott, are you a fan of the Lucky 7 game?
This is a game that's won very rarely. So this is a game they bring out when they don't want to give away a car, unless the numbers are such that bidding 5 on each one like would win you the car. But generally, like, they'll play this game and then the price will be like 21,919. So if you bid down the middle, you're going to be off by a lot and you have no chance to win it. But in this case, had they bid 5 on each at each point, they would have lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They would have lost $6. They would have won the car. So this was a very, they took a very tough game and picked a car price that made it very winnable. So of course Rupert did not win.
Yes.
Wait, you're telling me Rupert had a strategy laid out in front of him that he could have taken easily and he screwed it up? This is news to me. Ring the church bells, hit the presses. This is news that needs to be told to the world.
Okay. The most important number in this game is the first number that you give, because like there's no way to predict what like the fourth digit in a car price is going to be. But you can have a sense of how many thousands of dollars it is. So being off by $4 on that one was the killer. Had they been closer on that, they would have won the car.
Right. So, Mike, you have followed Rupert's Survivor career very closely. So how did you feel like Rupert was? Did Rupert seem pumped up to be there for The Price is Right?
I feel like everyone was on Rupert levels of energy. Like, I think this was actually, I think you said this before, Scott, this is the perfect game show for Rupert. I could see Rupert, like, serving as a permanent fixture on The Price is Right from now on, just because everyone's screaming at the top of their lungs. I mean, this girl, Jessica, that he's paired with is perfect for him. She's jumping around, climbing him like Ty Trank looking for an immunity idol.
Ty Die.
Yeah, exactly. There, we have the tie. We have the tie die. It's a perfect match. But that being said, I think once we get down to the nitty gritty and everything, he kind of biffs it. I mean, like Scott said, this did seem like a really hard game just to say, hey, figure out a car price. And, you know, depending on how far off you are, you get a certain number of guesses in a way. So it kind of sucks that, you know, the first game, Rupert had to screw it up. I don't know, even if you give it to like Boston Rob or Suri, if they could have done well with it. A little bit of a dour start to it, but it seemed like Rupert was pumped up no matter what. And we got to take that action to the showcase showdown.
Hey, look, Rupert has no issue with being the first person to lose on a game show. They've been there, done that. That is a no, that is no skin off Rupert's nose. Okay.
Is he going to send out a bunch of hate tweets now to Jessica being like, oh, can't wait to get on if Jessica would let me.
You know, I don't think this time counts because I was the first one out. I think that this should not count towards my record. I should get to play again, if anything. All right. So, Scott, now in terms of the car price, which was $52,756. So in terms of that car price, if they give you the first number, which is a 3, which seems that sounds high, that should you go with a 5 or should you go with a number that's lower for that second number?
Yeah, I would have gone with a lower number for the second number. But again, I memorized like 100 car prices before I went on the show. So I and it didn't even win me a car. So it was fun, though. Learned a lot about car pricing. Kias all ended a 5.
Look, you got to prepare for every contingency.
If you go to give you a price that ends in 6, they are overcharging you by at least $1.
Okay. So they threw out the number 6. The second number was a 2, which blew $4 for poor Jessica. And then she was really up against the wall. She rallied to come back where she bid a 6 again. It was a 7.
Yeah.
Bid a 4 again. It was a 5. So she ends up in a situation where she has one shot. She can say any number if she gets it right. Scott, do you have any advice in that spot?
Yeah, if it's a key, I give a 5, and pretty much anything else, you bid a 9. It tends to be, maybe it's anecdotal, it tends to be 9 a lot for that last digit in this game. So you want to make sure that 9 is within your range.
If only Jessica was partnered with Dreams. I feel like Dreams has as much card knowledge as Scott does at this point.
If they tested out Survivor at some point, then I could have helped her, and then she would have won the car. When?
Yeah. I mean, would Yao Man need to be the partner to help her win the car, and then Dreams could come in and sort of like steal the showcase?
Yeah, Lindsay, Dreams is a person who he was paired with would wind up in the car.
Yeah. That's pretty good. All right. So unfortunately, Rupert would not be a winner for Elise. I'm under the impression that she is an RHAP listener. So we wish her the best. We'll see her in the showcase showdown. She did not win with Rupert. All right. So then we get to our second go round. We call up somebody else up to the stage, and it's a very familiar face. Donna Martello, come on down. And Donna is also one of our listeners that you could recognize her often at almost any televised Survivor function. She has a very famous yellow dress with all of these Survivor logos and has been signed by a multitude of Survivors, including myself and Mike Bloom. Most recently, she was seated next to John Cochran at the Survivor finale. How about that?
Wow. So that means she got like secondary exposure there, right? Is that a strategy now? You have to sit next to Cochran or Sia at every reunion from now on to hope you get your face shown on screen?
Rob, did it hurt your feelings when she asked you to sign it, Rob Mariano?
No, come on. Scott, please. That would only increase the value of the dress. Now, Mike, were you thinking at any point that Sia would be running up to the stage?
Well, I had assumed that Sia was going to be posed as one of the models just surreptitiously in there, because as we know, she doesn't typically like to present herself.
So she might have been.
For all we know, she could have been, she could have been that TV screen for all we know. The Beauty Brains and Brawn package.
Okay. So Donna, she comes down. She's in the aforementioned Rupert spot, which now I will never be able to watch The Price is Right again and think of the person who's on the end as not being in the quote unquote Rupert spot. Which can take on all sorts of different connotations. Before tonight, the Rupert spot was sort of like the dugout hole that's right where the shoreline is that gets flooded in by the tide. That was also the Rupert spot, traditionally.
That's the Scott spot. That was my podium. Old Greeny.
All right. So Donna is paired up with Tina Wesson. And unfortunately, Donna and Tina never got to the stage here tonight. They were stranded down in contestants row for the entire night, but I thought they had some good bids.
Yes. No argument with how they bid.
This is less
Tina Wesson and Australian Outback, more like Tina Wesson and All-Stars in terms of her actual exposure on the stage.
Yeah.
She was the dog that didn't bark tonight.
The dog that didn't bid.
I only see one spot where like their bid was not super defensible. Other than that, bad luck. Not being fourth in bid very often.
Also, I saw Donna wearing a flint necklace also in contestants row.
Oh, that would get confiscated if you were on Survivor Second Chances.
Yes, PG actually created that necklace. That was inspired by the PG line
PG
of jewelry.
Design.
Yeah. All right.
Richard Hatch wearing his team, but you couldn't see it.
All right. The next prize up for bids was an Apple Watch and an iPhone. Which actually you would think that this is something that you could sort of just price out. I know that the Apple Watches, though, depend on the wristband, so that's sort of confusing. But pretty much for the most part, the iPhone stuff is pretty standard issue in terms of that. So here we go. Donna and Tina, they start off the bidding. $1,600 is where they start. Rob and Elise, Boston Rob and Elise, they bid $1,601. Now here comes Joey Amazing again with a $1,475 bid. Scott, I was like, do they have like sort of like a, does she work at the Apple store? Does she have some inside information in terms of what she's bidding there? Because that seems like a very specific bad bid.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a very specific bad bid. She said, I want significant digits all the way down, and I want it to be slightly lower than the other bids.
Yes. And then we had Suri with Thomas, they bid $14.76, which is doubling down on the bad Joe and Latrina bid. And, you know, we're making fun of these bids. These are the two people that are going to win the show. These are the two people that are going to get all the way to the end. So they figure whatever they're doing wrong here in these first couple of rounds, they get it. They get the ship righted by the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rob and Elise made a bad bid, too. Like when you're the second person, you upped the first person by a dollar. You're just opening yourself up to get outbid by a dollar again, which is what not Joe and Latrina should have done, because if they went 16.02, then Sri and Thomas would have gone 16.03. But you know, you're really making yourself vulnerable, only you know, taking away that extra bracket of prices that the item could be in.
Are you saying that Boston Rob lucked into a win here by the poor play of others, Scott? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would never.
Okay, how dare you? All right, so it's sure enough, Rob and Elise get up to the stage. So there you go.
Only two times it took him to get up there. So yeah. That's he's twice as good at The Price is Right as he is in Survivor at this point.
But half as good as Rupert.
That's true.
There you go. All right. So here comes Rob and Elise, and we find out they're going to play a game called Most Expensive. A pretty uninteresting Price is Right game of here's three things. Which is the most expensive? Very, very, very on the nose.
It's one of the quick games. We don't have a lot of time for this game games.
Yeah. So the three things were, there was a big screen TV, there was a Vespa, and there was a washer and dryer. And luckily, Boston Rob, that we got this piece of information that he, I just got a washer and dryer. So perfect. Boston Rob has the washer.
That's four kids, right? So they're washers and dryers. They clean as well.
Does he run a sweatshop?
I'm assuming that's what he was referring to. That's why he keeps having so many kids, right?
Yeah, as Rob and I can tell you, your 3-year-old is very good at cleaning things.
Right.
That's what your 3-year-old doing.
Unfortunately for Elise, Boston Rob did not recently purchase a TV or a Vespa. I could use a Vespa. Very excited. I'm going to be seeing Boston Rob this week at Run It Up Reno. So maybe we can get some other behind the scenes stories for The Price is Right. So, all right. So Boston Rob, really true. Almost like this was like Boston Rob in All Stars. He's like, takes Elise and says, all right, this is how it's going to go. He says to her, hey, you don't have to take my advice, but here's what I have to say. Really puts her in a spot where how's she going to say no to what Boston Rob wants to do?
I wish we had someone who knew what it felt like to rely on something Boston Rob said, but then lose a game show.
Easy, Scott. Easy.
I think she was sitting in the front row of the contestants box, actually.
All right. So Boston Rob says, whatever you do, the washer and dryer is cheap. That you could get a washer and dryer for like nothing.
That's why I'm going with the kid theory. I think that's what he's referring to. You get it for nothing. Just 9 months.
Normally, when they have these kinds of games with three items that you're playing for, one of the items is somewhere in the $1,000 range, one is in the $2,000 range, and one is in the $3,000 range. So, like, normally when you play this game with a $3,000 washer dryer, like, that's the most expensive thing. But tonight they weren't trying to trick anybody. The thing that looked like it should be the most expensive, the scooter was the most expensive, and the TV, which looked like it should have been the cheapest item, was the cheapest item, so everybody just overthought it, and they picked TV and did not win any of the items.
Yeah, I really would have gone with the Vespa. I feel like that TVs are not as expensive as they used to be. I feel like,
they do have expensive TV. I mean, they have, that episode I was on, someone won a $3,800 TV. So The Price is Right does have TVs that like could be the most expensive thing,
right?
Even compared to a scooter and a washer dryer.
But was that like a 4K TV? Was there anything in particular?
It was 4K. Usually the really expensive ones are like 4K and they have the 3D glasses and they're like huge. And they don't look as huge in person as they really are.
Yeah. And so Boston Rob says to Elise, hey, trust me on this one. And that was familiar, I got to say. And it did not ultimately work out for her. These survivors are like really just like leading people right off the edge, Mike.
Yeah. What did you think, by the way, about this whole theming of the items off of the brains, brawn, and beauty? I mean, this is more of a stretch than, you know, Garrett Adelstein on the Brains Tribe. You know?
Or like, oh, the Price is Right.
Yeah, we're at The Price is Right.
Well, that's how they design the show, right? So they actually put together an episode. They start with the showcases. They design the showcases first, then they work backwards from there to find other prizes that like don't contrast or don't aren't too similar to the showcase prizes. And then they just like Survivor, once they know what the prizes are, then they force a theme that doesn't fit onto it.
Yeah. All right. Then we get to our third contestant to come on down. Here comes Matthew Forsyth. Again, longtime RHAP voicemailer, former Big Brother live feed correspondent. He used to report on Dan Giesling many years ago, Team Dan, back in Big Brother 14, where we had the four different Big Brother live feed correspondents.
So he's like the proto Brent.
Yeah, sure. And so that he was reporting way back when we used to cover like the four different, we go around the horn with all the different live feed correspondents. And so Matthew, a longtime friend of the podcast. And so he was paired up with current friend of the podcast, Jeremy Collins. And you would think that this would be a very formidable team.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know, but these bids were so dumb.
Oh, Mike,
not
come on.
Not to disparage Matthew. Matthew's a great guy. I was surprised that him and Jeremy didn't get up there. Jeremy, though, he was pretty pumped. He was like hulking out with his button-down shirt. So
yeah.
I feel like they were a match made in heaven.
They made a pretty good bid on their first item. I mean, they bid $1,200 on the camping gear that sold for $1,410. So, but for another like weird bid by Sari, where Sari and Thomas took a small range, Matthew and Jeremy should have got up right away.
Okay. So, so the bids, what was this prize that they were bidding on?
I wrote down camping gear.
Camping gear.
Matthew and Jeremy bid $1,200 and then Joe and Latrina bid $1,500, which is, you know, fine. And then for some reason, Sari and Thomas wanted to like cut into that $1,200 to $1,500 range.
Hey,
and it that worked out.
Look, you're knocking it. That was what worked. And then Donna and Tina bid $1,501. $1,410 was the answer. And now here comes Sari and Thomas Walter to play Punch a Bunch.
Those are actually now, four pretty good bids, though, considering that the price was $1,410. They were all no further away than like $210 from the price, which is it's pretty good.
Okay.
I'm going to accuse CBS of nepotism here because Thomas has to be related to Mike Holloway in some sort of way, shape, or form. They have very similar timbre to their voices. Or I don't know if Thomas was screaming his head off the day before, but he was a very, very hoarse man. So, of course, if you get someone related to a Survivor winner and a Survivor legend paired up, they're going to go do great things. And I think, I mean, they're the only ones to win out of this first half.
Okay, so we're going to play Punch a Bunch. And now you have a bunch of prices. You have to say higher or lower. Thomas gets all four of them right. I think Sari was like a little bit like, I don't know about that. He overrides Sari. Normally, I would say that would be a bad idea, Scott. But Thomas gets it right.
Yeah, she couldn't cut him loose, so he had nothing to fear from her today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to play Punch a Bunch. And Jeff Probst is there. So we have him. He's holding like this giant check of Drew Carey.
That's always there. Yeah, that's always there when I play that game.
Mike, what do you think of Jeff holding the giant check? Should he have that? Like, he gave Michelle a very tiny $1 million check, but here he's holding a giant $25,000 check.
I miss the good old days, Rob, where they used to give giant checks. I think starting with around like Sophie, maybe, of course, after Boston Rob won, they said, all right, we're sort of done with the big checks now. Let's just hand out little doodads. But yeah, I mean, while we're at it, let's bring back the gong. Let's bring back the treasure chest of money. Let's just make all this monetary value really show them from the contestants' faces. It'll really incentivize them to make the moves they need to win.
Yeah.
I just bought a giant check, actually, to go off on a complete tangent. It was a fun process.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
All right. So he gets four punches here of where he wants to go. First one is $1,000. He throws it back. Then at $5,000, he could stop. He does not. Scott, do you recommend that?
I would have. Well, so the numbers were different today than they normally are. I believe there aren't normally. It was one $25,000 punch and then four $10,000 punches. So just looking at this, the average value of a punch on the board is, I think, higher than usual.
Mm-hmm.
So normally you'd keep 5K without thinking about it. I always applaud players who go for it. You know, you're on a game show, like go for it, give it a shot.
Yeah. He throws it back. He gets $1,000, and then the last spot. What are the chances, Scott? All right. I mean, there's what, like literally.
You want to know the actual chances?
Yeah. What is it?
Let's see.
1 in 48.
There's 40 spots there, so it was 1 in 37 at that
point. Okay, 1 in 37 that he's going to do it. Scott, tell me if I'm crazy. I normally don't subscribe to the tinfoil hat theories. The fix had to be in here that he was going to win this game and get the 25,000. Prime time, Price is Right, 1 in 37 chance.
The lawyers would never allow it, but they, you know, there's no, like, they could put extra $25,000 slips in there, because if someone, you'll never see more than one, because if someone gets one, the game's over. There's no reason to throw away a $25,000 piece. So they could put him like every other space, and he just was like unlucky that it took him 4 punches to find it. But no, the lawyers are very careful of this.
I mean, like, that's in the favor of the contestants. It's not like that they're screwing people out of like their...
Right, but they still have to run an honest game show, and that's why, again, and I could be misremembering this, but I believe there were more 10,000s than usual, and so that's how they did it. They made the average average expected value of playing the game higher. But they weren't, like, they weren't doing favors to the contestants today. Like, it's, you'd think they would, because it's a primetime episode and it's Survivor. But the two car games they played are both games that, like, historically have a very low percentage chance of being won.
Is that the car curse?
Yeah. Okay. So finally, so Thomas wins $25,000. He gets to go to the Showcase Showdown, and
that was like good. I Jeff Probst sold me. He looked at the thing. Drew, you do it. You know, I didn't think it was like $500, but there was, they both reacted very straight faced to that card.
Well, I felt like that once they start saying like, boy, you really
Once Drew does that, then it's a big prize.
Then you feel good. All right.
I did also like how once they won the $25,000, I don't know if you noticed this, but Jeff does this weird like Looney Tunes esque tiptoe over to Thomas while he's celebrating with the check to hand it over. Jeff is by far the most cartoony he's been since his time on Survivor, and that includes, you know, his wide-eyed glare when he found out Billy Garcia declared his love for Candace Woodcock.
Jeff is loopy, but did we know that he had just gotten back from filming a season at that point, or was he just about to go out for one? If he just got back, I understand the loopiness.
I believe he was probably just leaving. I think they most recently got back. I think that's probably what it was. Just to go back to, you know, this punch-a-bunch idea where you have this card that's in there, and then you sort of look at it, and then you sort of react to it. Mike, would you like to see that, like in a Survivor Tribal Council, you know, where it's like, okay, that's 3 votes Aubrey, 3 votes Michelle. Should Jeff like look at the vote and then like, boy, Aubrey, you're really going to be upset tonight because the vote is Michelle.
He does do that in the finale sometimes, though, where he'll look at it when it's the deciding vote and then he'll turn it around. I do kind of wish God help him, I don't want this to become like a bachelor rose ceremony where he's like, all right, here we go. Stakes have been higher than ever. Nobody is safe. I wouldn't mind it.
We don't need
more time at Tribal Council.
Why not? Where do we have to go? All right. So then let's get to the Showcase Showdown. Let's spin the wheel. And there was some weird stuff going on with the wheel where it's like, so you always have like that downtime while the wheel is spinning. And really kind of the contestants, the actual players got a little screwed because they kind of gave that time to the survivors to sort of talk and do their sort of like Big Brother nomination. I just want to, before I get into everything, I just want to thank my mom and my dad at home. Happy birthday to this person, and do all of their shout outs. And very few, a little bit of shout out time was left for the contestants. Scott,
Drew was caught off guard by that. I think like he hadn't, it seemed like one of the things he hadn't thought about was, oh yeah, I guess if I like talk to these people who are here specifically because they are total hams, then they're going to suck all the air and time out of this. And then the other person, you know, the contestant won't be able to talk.
Yeah, so the survivors were going to fill their time. Like, I don't know if he thought maybe the survivors were going to have like something like interesting to say about this, but no, they just went right into shout out mode.
Yeah, Rupert, you got some important thoughts for the world?
I just want to say,
I'm running again for Rupert. My bid for the presidential race of the United States.
Rupert, 2020.
Yeah. All right, so Rupert and Jessica. They started off and
Robin and Elise do.
I'm sorry. It was Robin and Elise were first. And then they had 60, but they kept going. They kept going, Scott. Bad move to spin again on 60?
No, the first player needs to spin again unless you get a 65 or higher. The second person needs to spin again unless they have a 50 or higher, or if they're tied with the first place person, 65 or higher. And then obviously the third person plays until they win. Again, accepting ties.
Okay.
So 60 you spin again if you're the first person.
All right. So Rupert and Jessica, they get a 65 and they stay on the 65. And then finally, here comes Thomas and Suri. And how do they do on the first spin, Scott?
Oh, they great technique. She really put a lot of fun with her legs, not her back. You want to do that. She got a 30. And I mean, there's no decision to make when you're the third person. Like, if you're losing, then you spin again. And if you're winning, then you stop and, like, start jumping around and hugging Drew. I was told by someone I know never to jump around in a tight T-shirt on national television again. Fine.
Yes. Okay. So they end up with 95. They're going to stop. So Suri and Thomas will move on to the final show. It's not the showcase. Okay. The showcase.
The wheel is the showcase showdown. And then the final thing is just called the showcase.
Got it. Okay.
Well, do we want to talk for a second about the wheel has spoken? And okay. The
oh yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Good call, Mike. Jeff, all right, Mike, what was Jeff's your, coming. So we have Jeff there and we are going to be putting out the torches of the players who, as they get eliminated.
It's like being right there on the island. I mean, it's like the genuine experience right there in the Bob Barker studio.
What's a more BS twist, removing a jury member or having a wheel vote somebody out?
Yeah, a good question.
I feel like people would take the wheel because then Aubrey's got a chance again, right? Wouldn't that be the more popular choice?
Well, if two contestants end up getting tied, are we having a spinoff or fire making? Is that how we're going to do the settle all these ties, Mike?
No, whoever has the fire table wins, right? They've already succeeded in the fire making challenge in that facet.
Now, as we head into the Big Brother version tomorrow night, what's Julie Chen going to be doing as people end up losing, Mike?
You have been evicted from the Price is Right stage.
She's going to ask him some real awkward questions.
And what's Phil going to do on Wednesday, Mike?
I'm sorry to tell you, but you have been eliminated from the stage.
And I'm sorry
to say. This is a non-elimination wheel. Go spin again.
Non-elimination wheel, so you get one more spin.
Yeah. All right. So here's where things are really going to pick up now. Here comes, we go back to contestants row. We have new contestants. We have Inga, yep. And Wu. Mm-hmm. Wu Huang, Mike, come on down.
Wow, we haven't seen Wu for a good, since October? I know he got a brief glimpse at the Survivor Cambodia reunion, but yeah, we've had Wu off the brain for a considerable amount of time, but according to Max Dawson on Twitter, Wu was quite the popular person amongst the audience themselves during the taping.
No, that's just what every Price is Right audience just says, Wu! They're not cheering for him. That's just what you say when you attend a taping of The Price is Right.
They're actually saying Wu earns.
Yeah. All right. So then we get to another round of bidding. What was the price this time?
What was the playing for the kayak.
Kayak.
It's weird. Usually on The Price is Right, like rarely do the one bid items get above $2,000. When they do, they're like never above three. This is the second item we've had that's in like that $4,000 range. The kayak and the kayak, and there was more, I think.
Yeah.
I just wrote kayak. $39.39. That's a lot. And so a $2,000 bid from Wu and Inga it's a pretty strong bid.
Okay, so 2,000, and then Donna and Tina bid 34.02.
It's a great bid. I mean, it's a lot higher than you'd ever expect Niden to be, but they were still under. I mean, it took like a really amazing bid from Joe and Latrina to topple them. But that, I mean, again, that's another, you know, you get unlucky on the show, you make great bids, and just someone else recognizes you made a great bid, and they nudge you. And
yeah,
sorry.
Matt and Jeremy bid 2,700, and then Joe and Latrina bid 34.05, and Joe and Latrina get to come up. Now, this set up a very odd moment, Mike, where we had a trip to Borneo, which, from what I hear, in Borneo, there's really only two things, and neither are positive in snakes and rats in Borneo.
Though, 16 years later, I think all the monitor lizards must have eaten all of them at this point, right? Didn't they eat all the Pagong chickens, too?
Yes. Also, the childhood home of Yao Man Chan.
Oh, and the home of the Survivor Bar, too, right? Come have a drink and watch the first episode that's running on loop for 16 years. Yeah.
So a lot to do there. And so then the woman, Latrina, is asked about, okay, here you are, up here with Joey Amazing. How does that feel? And she says that she's up here with her two favorite guys. And Drew Carey goes full bloom, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, improvisational comedian after my own heart. I mean, speaking of Rupert Hole, I feel like there might have been some different Holt talk, and I'm not talking about Peter Harkey.
All right. Easy, Mike. All right.
I went full Drew there. I'm a
full Drew. You went full Drew.
I'm on stage with Joe and someone else, and that other person says that their two favorite people are there, I'm pretty sure I'm in second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Drew basically, he makes like a threesome joke about how like, hey, we'll be right back after these commercials here with me, Latrina, and Joey Amazing.
There's got to be a fan fiction out there somewhere of, you know, my menage a trois with Drew and Joe Anglum.
Yeah. Drew Carey, he actually had said,
all I could think about was Joe's body.
Yeah. So that's a very distracted Drew Carey. All right. So, Joe Brochaccio and Drew Carey. All right. So they had to bid on Now and Then, flashback to Survivor Borneo. What prices were, is there any specific strategy, Scott, for the Now and Then game?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Slate did a piece probably a couple of years ago already about Price is Right strategy. This was given as an example of a game that can be won 100% of the time, proper strategy, because there are always four now items and two then items. So there's a combination of you pick three items that are all consecutive, and you pick now for all three of them. And then depending on what that outcome is, there's a way to guess on the other three that guarantees you get three in a row correct.
Okay.
So no one has an excuse for losing this game unless they didn't memorize the Slate thing about how to win every game on prices. Right.
Yes. Mike, did you think that it was clever product placement for Survivor to incorporate one of the grocery items they were bidding on was a bottle of Fiji water? Was that really setting the stage for this fall?
Yeah. Well, once I saw that, I'm like, okay, are these like named after locations? But that was the only one, though. I'm glad we got to see some Sandra and Courtney on this in the advocation of beans and rice as the number of items.
Yes. Now we had, first it was, crab meat, which she bid, $4.19. That was the now price. That's the going price for crab meat. Scott, were you aware of that?
Oh yeah. No.
And then $1.59, that was the then price of rice, which, Mike, as far as I was under the impression, a container of rice was the going price now is a tarp.
Yeah. Oh, it depends. You know, if it's crispy, it might be a little more, it might garner some more conflict. So that might bring up the asking price. So it really depends on the consistency of the rice.
Yes. And then finally, the final thing that she bid on was ointment. Was that a Survivor co-wrong tie-in, Mike?
Well, it's Tiger Balm. So maybe it was a tie back to what was Jean Hu was the fighting tiger. So maybe I haven't seen them use Tiger Balm, but it also, this was filmed, in March? So this was, in the height of all the Survivor co-wrong injury stuff. So maybe it was something that they mentioned off camera and had to cut out.
Yeah. All right. So she ultimately wins. Latrina will win. And then very crazy moment happens where she gets into this big hug. And Jeff Probst comes running in. He wants in on the bro hug with Joey Amazing.
Now it's awkward when there's four of them in the mix. I feel like there's a hand somewhere where you don't want it to be. Jeff Probst makes it an awkward corner of the square.
I'm trying to find what's the appropriate sound clip to play.
If it doesn't fit, probably doesn't belong there.
Yeah. There we go. We're synonymous on that one, Rob.
We're on simpatico. Okay. All right. So here we go. Let's get into the real crab meat of it all. So here we go. Here comes Kelly Wentworth to come on down. She's going to be paired up with Donald. And Donald also, I feel like I've definitely met Donald somewhere along the way.
I've seen him on TV a lot. Yeah. Is that the Donald we're talking about?
No, a different one.
He does have an affinity for blonde women.
No. All right. Hammock and Tiki Bar. Here we go. And so, I don't have all the bids in this round other than, Wu and Inga with, $2,400. They have the winning bid. Anything you want to talk about from the bidding, Scott?
No, I mean, you get another item over $2,000. So that's three of them so far. So the one bid items were pricey tonight for anybody keeping track at home.
Yeah. Although I feel like in fairness that I have to say to our own Matthew that he bids the $1 here when they had the opportunity to go $2,401, which would have been the winning bid. Did you advocate the $1 bid here for Matthew and Jeremy?
No, I probably would have taken the range of over 2,400 because if you're wrong, you get another shot. I mean, unless it's 2,099 to 2,399, in which case it's, but you're passing on that spread anyway, on that range. So Yeah, better to take 2401, and if it is over, then take another shot. You'll be fourth up again, so you get another pick of which range you want.
Okay. All right, so here we go. We're going to play a game called That's Too Much. Mike, were you saying that at all tonight?
No. I mean, again, since we were kind of done with Rupert after the first game, we cut back to the boxing contestants. I did notice that, like, people went back. Like, I think there was one point when, like, Boston Rob was back in there.
The pen. You're right.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's Woo Much, maybe, and that's all too convenient that he came up there and played this game.
They only hold a certain number of spots at the front for the contestants, so they probably just didn't have seats up there.
Now, perhaps the only contestant to be worse paired up with for the That's Too Much game might be Joe Del Campo, the only other survivor who does not know when to say when.
Or Wes.
Wes, yeah. All right, so the name of this game, That's Too Much. So they've got a Mini Cooper, a green white top Mini Cooper. Here, that's a fantastic car. So what you want to do, they're going to give you a bunch of prizes. And I feel like that this was, Scott, did this used to be 10 chances and that they've sort of like...
No, they still have 10 chances. And that's a much better game. And it's a game that like can be won almost all the time if you know the trick to it. So no, this is just a game where you can tell if they're trying to give the car away or not based on where the winning amount is. If it's one of like the first two or the last couple, then they're trying to not give it away. And if it's the middle, like it was today, then maybe someone will get the car. So, it's a bad game. It's a we're running out of time game.
Okay,
as a quick side note, like they shortened the show. It used to be like 40 some minutes. It's down to like 37 minutes or so of showtime. So they need a lot of these games that can be played really quickly.
Okay, so here's how this works: where they're going to give you a prize, and then you have to stop the thing when it's a prize that is too much. So. Or the price is more than the price of the car. So the first number is 19,334. Then 20,575. Then
you took good notes.
21,840. We get to 23,122. Inga says, "I think I should stop here. I think this is it.
Yeah, she said that at the $24,000 price, and she was pretty sure.
I'm sorry, at 24,331, she's saying. I ought to stop here. This is, I think, I should stop.
Yeah, if you don't know the car prices, if you didn't memorize 100 of them or whatever, then you're going to look to the audience, and it's really, really hard to tell what the audience thinks sometimes when you're up there. Like, it's 300 people, like, all yelling at you out of sync, and they all have different thoughts, so it's hard to get a read on it, and you've got the lights on, you got to make a big decision. And in this case, she had the added pressure of someone standing next to her giving her really bad advice. It's hard to ignore.
So Inga says, I should stop here. But Woo says, oh, I don't know, Inga. I think you should go. I think one more. Come on. Come on. Let's do it. One more. Mike, how could you say no when Woo is giving you advice? When Woo says do it, don't you have to do it? Take Woo's advice.
Woo is such an enabler in this case. Come on. Just one more taste.
It's just so succulent and delicious. One more.
You're going to have such an immaculate car after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, when you're paired up with the person who, in my mind, is the owner of the worst decision in Survivor history, when Woo says zig, don't you have to zag, Mike?
Well, that's how he lost the maze challenge, right? He zigged when he should have zagged, and Cass lost the challenge, and Woo won it that way. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem here, is that you realize that not all Survivor contestants are created equal in the decision-making department. I'm sure if this was a challenge of, hey, you're going to have to guess the car price while Woo stands balanced on this gymnast beam that we have in the middle of the stage, that would have been a lot easier on Inga's part. But unfortunately, she decided to listen, and of course, she went one too many, and that did her in, and the Mini Cooper is hers no longer.
Yeah.
In fairness to Woo, like, it's a reasonable guess. Like, the problem with Woo wasn't that he was wrong. It's that he was so adamant about his wrong answer.
Well,
like, he doesn't know. Like, why does he think? Like,
that's what he does.
Like, okay, like, Mike, you're married. Rob, I know you're married. I'm married. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're getting ready for the wedding, and then your fiance is like, hey, what do you think about chair covers? And, like, you've never had a thought in your life about chair covers. But now, like, on the spot, you have an opinion about chair covers. And then your fiance is like, no, that's the wrong opinion about chair covers. And even though you didn't care about chair covers till like 3 seconds ago, you defend your stupid wrong opinion because you've been asked for it. Like, that's where Woo is. This is like, What does the car cost? It's one more. I never thought about it before, but I'm certain it's one more. We do not need chair covers. The room looks fine.
So, Mike, was Tony the chair covers as opposed to Cass being a different set of chair covers?
No, Cass was the we'll rent the chairs. The caterers will set them up. Tony was the, all right, it's going to take a much harder time. We'll have to set
them
up.
Let's just buy them. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to put them away. No, you know what? I think we can do it.
Tony had told Wu that he was a chair setter upper professionally.
Yeah.
And screw Wu up.
Unfortunately, okay, so Wu and Inga, it would not work out. We would see them in the showcase showdown. And then finally, our own Natalie Anderson, Miss Survivor, comes down to join another, so many Miss Survivors in the audience.
Her and Kelly would start having a rap battle. Luckily
they didn't get into it. All right. Really? And the whole cast of San Juan del Sur is reunited in contestants row with poor Tina.
Well, you see, right before when Kelly got called down the previous time, like Natalie knew she was getting called down at some point. So when Kelly comes down, Natalie knows she's last, which is like the worst spot to be. And you can see on her face, like, damn it. So here she is like coming down. You got one chance to play. But again, like how much skin they have in the game? They're playing for charity, but she gets her stipend or her appearance fee, you know, regardless. So,
Well, Natalie had a lot of skin to show, so she had to pull down her dress when she got picked up by that one guy.
Yeah, and then I also heard that they were going to call Keith Nail down, but they got they were chicken at the last second, so then they didn't ultimately call him down.
But they still gave him $10,000.
They would have. All right. So, all right. Here comes Natalie Anderson. It seemed like Natalie had a little bit of a friction with the guy that she was paired up with, right? Like,
Natalie had no freaking idea how to play this game. She said literally, like, oh, Boston Rob told me to bid a dollar on this. Like, you could totally tell, like, people were just creeping down to the front row and saying, like, Natalie, just when you get up there, just do this, say this. I would have actually loved to see her go up and actually win the bid and play in one of these games because. That would have been great TV, definitely. I mean, Kelly, I think, still did. She did her worth. She gave the soundbite of "This is harder than Survivor." But Natalie Anderson being deprived of a chance to play one of these games is pretty ridiculous.
Come on, Tweenie, let's go!
Yeah. All right. So here come the bids for the last go around, last chance cafe for everybody down there on contestants row. And here we go. So they have Natalie and John. They bid $800, even though Natalie Anderson wanted to bid $1.
Good bid.
Then Donna bid 1111.
Also a good bid. She was over by $31.
Okay. Then
don't tell me she doesn't think about that every day since then.
I think her life $31. Is fine. I think her life is fine.
Her dress is fine.
Yeah. And then Jeremy and Matthew bid $1,450. And then here comes Kelly Wentworth. Typical Kelly Wentworth coming in there and
sneaky.
801. 801, Scott.
It's a small range. You're taking 801 to 1110, but it's the right range, and they win the GoPros.
Okay.
Poor Donald getting pulling a Clay Jordan and getting choked by Natalie as a result.
All right. So now we get up there, and now it's Donald and Kelly, and we find out that that after all this, he has been hashtag life made, Mike, that he has gotten to play Price is Right with Kelly Wentworth.
Well, you're going to say they get to the stage, but they get to the stage a little slower than usual because Kelly pulls a Jennifer Lawrence and totally trips on her way up there.
That actually happened to me when I was on the show. It didn't make it on TV. When I came down, not when I was coming on stage, but when I came down to contestants or when I got called, you're coming down a ramp, but then suddenly it's not a ramp, it's like level. And so I hit that last step and I went flying onto the stairs. And I thought I was going to wind up on YouTube and I'd be a meme, but no such luck. They cut that. So.
Okay.
No one got to see me go flying.
Okay, so Scott, we're going to play the game Double Cross.
Another one of these quick little, like, let's get a game done out of the way so we can get on to other stuff. I mean, you pick the price of the two items. Like, that's it. There's not really a lot of gameplay. It's one decision.
Okay, the designer handbags and a kitchen island. I'm sure that is just what Donald needed.
There you go. They give away a lot of these outdoor kitchen islands. Like, I don't know if they're doing it because they think people want them or because it's a prize that people are going to decline and the show is going to save some money. I think it's the latter, to be honest.
You're so negative.
Well, they say, like, in designing the show, they changed the sorts of prizes they gave out when Bob Barker retired and Drew came on because they wanted prizes that seemed like genuine, like Drew would really give them to you. Like, Bob Barker would give you a living room set. Brent still has his. Like, it was stuff that, like, old Uncle Bob would give you, and now the stuff that, like, young Uncle Drew would give you, who doesn't know you very well, and he figures that you probably have a giant backyard.
He's regifting, is what you're saying? That he's taking the gifts that gave this person they didn't want, and let me give it to you?
We'll get to regifting during the showcase. Just you wait.
Okay.
I got a thought for you.
All right. So there we go. Let's go to the showcase showdown. Time to spin the wheel. Big spin from Inga. Here's Inga, and lots of shout outs from Wu, including...
Big news. He finally apparently did propose to Christina Hamilton. He didn't have his $1 million, but he probably asked her father permission. We got the whole story how it was going to happen. His fiance, Christina. So congratulations. And if it's not Christina Hamilton, if it is a different Christina, then I apologize.
Yeah.
Well, he's after those Tonys that Christina Hamilton just is about to get in a couple weeks.
Listen, Woo, I'm telling you, get Hamilton if you can. And it's a hot ticket. I'm telling you.
So much connective tissue between these past few jokes. I love it.
All right. So 55 is the spin from Inga. She spins again. And goes over?
Nope. She got a 25 for an 80. Yep.
All right. So there you go. There's Inga. Winner edit for Inga, Mike?
Yeah, though she'll be criminally robbed at the end. And some may argue that she deserved it over Latrina.
They actually do that. They will do, like, when they edit stuff out of the show, they'll keep, like, some of the quirks of the people who go on to the showcase. You will see sometimes. So there is a Price is Right winner's edit. And Rob, if you're keeping track of hashtags, make sure you write that one down.
Okay. And then Donald, who was next? Was this Joe and Latrina?
Kelly and Donald.
Kelly and Donald. And what do they do, Scott?
Dime, the double dime, 20 cents.
Okay. They're out. And now here comes Joey Dale's Amazing.
Birthday, though. Joe, happy birthday, Dale.
Happy birthday to Dale, the farm happy guy, 69. Birthday. Happy birthday to the freakiest freak. And then finally, here's Joey Amazing and Latrina. Turns out Latrina is good in the challenges too, Mike.
Yeah, this is really Joe'smosis, right? That all of his challenge prominence. I was, for all of his great skills at, you know, like rolling balls and figuring out these carnival games, I'm a sad that Joe couldn't play Plinko, because I feel like that's just like something that he would really rock.
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like that Plinko is going to be in the Big Brother Price is Right. I feel like
it was in the promo photos or something.
Like, yeah, so yeah, I think they, for whatever reason, they saved that. They brought out the big guns for the Plinko, maybe for the Zingbot. All right, so Joey Amazing, and did it take them two tries, Scott, or they got it on the first time around?
40 cents plus 60 cents equals a dollar.
Yeah, and they really go nuts for $1,000 on the big wheel. It really.
Well, my son starts running around the room going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And so here we go once again, and no such luck. No bonus money. But so it's going to be a matchup, a dream matchup, Mike, in the final two of Suri and Joe in the final two.
You're thinking of fan favorite Sierra, who's going to make an appearance introducing the first.
We'll get
showcase.
To that. We'll get to that. So what do you think of the final two of Joe versus Suri?
I feel like we got spoiled for Survivor Old School versus New School. This is the final two, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see ultimately what's going to happen as we get there. Okay. So it's Latrina versus Thomas here in the final two. Okay. So now we're going to get introduced to the first showcase, Mike. And now we get set up for here comes this first showcase, which is going to be we're modeled by fan favorites, Ozzy and Sierra. And so everybody is very excited to see, wow, Ozzy Luth and Sierra Easton. Wow, the fan favorites are here.
Not that Sierra, Rob, and not the Sierra from Survivor Token Sheen.
It clearly says in my notes, fan favorite Sierra.
Well, I mean, there's probably a lot of people at the eyebrow salon and the horse riding saloons that are fans of Sierra. So technically she's a fan favorite.
Fan favorite Sierra from Token Sheens?
No. You're thinking of, this is bronze medal Sierra. She runs a cool third next to those other two, unfortunately.
Wow. So again, this was fan favorite in the terms of the Battle of the Block is a fan favorite, Mike?
Yeah, there's some sort of contingency of some people hidden in a dank basement in the CBS studio somewhere where they're like, hey, you like Battle of the Block, right? Like, yeah, I guess. All right, great. Hey. We're bringing that out to the press release.
Yeah, I think there's somebody there, like, with the fine print, like, if it's one fan's favorite, it is technically a fan favorite. So, yeah.
I also love the fact that, like, they introduced the showcase, but they just stood, or they flanked the TV screen and just sort of stood there and, like, gestured around while the TV screen talked about their trip to Fiji.
Yeah.
Also, what are kick to the face for like Pete Yurkowski and Jay Byers, right? Weren't they out to be models on The Price is Right?
Yeah.
You couldn't tell those
too
guys?
Close to home for them.
Yeah, too close to home. Also, that Matt Forsyth had tweeted earlier that they had to do a second take because he said that Ozzy was humping the car. I'm not sure if that's canon or not, Mike.
Did he call the car Lindsay Lohan?
It's a Chrysler Lindsay Lohan.
They directed Ozzy to a human being to hump instead, and then they were able to get on with the broadcast.
This car always stays between the lines. Okay. All right, so here we go. This is, tell us about this prize package here, Scott.
Well, we have the 6-night trip to Fiji.
More
really,
really
fun.
Boy, these survivors are really pricing out these trips to Fiji, Mike.
Yeah, though this trip is much more moto than it is Ravu in terms of all the luxuries they get to enjoy.
You'll be a have and not a have not in Fiji.
You'll learn how to French press coffee if you didn't know already.
Just make sure you paint the wood so you don't get any ants on you like Papa Smurf.
And smash them, and or Lisi will smash them with a hammer.
Yeah. Well, you guys really love Survivor Fiji.
I'm thrilled to be going back there. This
yes, you'll stay at Earl Island. all right, so Mike, so and then we have a Mustang also as part of this.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
the old
deal.
Trip in a car.
Yep. Yeah, an old trip in a car. It's the old dream. It's the dreams prize package.
It's the dreams and the Jerry Colby.
You'll walk away with a trip to Fiji and a brand new car. Even if you're homeless.
And you might have to sleep in it after America yells at you for depriving a car and voting out a fan favorite.
All right. Scott, let's talk about this bid. $33,199 for Thomas and Suri.
It's a good competitive bid. I mean, it's a bid that's trying to win the game. Can't blame him for that. You get a car and a trip. You want to bid on it. You'd rather get a car and a trip as your second showcase so you can see what the first person did with their showcase. But never pass up a car and a trip. Those are pretty straightforward to price. And he got it pretty close. I mean, he was over, mm-hmm. but he was only off by, what, about $300 or so, $333. So, you know, he went for it.
It's got, it seems to me like this would be a pretty easy showcase to win. I'm not throwing any shade for them going over, but I feel like that it's just two things. If you're coming into Price is Right, you might price a lot of car information as you did. Now, I feel like they had the trip to Borneo earlier in the show, which was one. I feel like they can't
like
be that.
$12,000 or
it's
something.
Like it's like $7,000, I think, something like that.
No, it's more than that. I mean, the Fiji trip is a really expensive as far as trips they give out, and $33,000 is supposed to be low. I mean, that should be under the price of it. The Fiji trip is supposed to be a really expensive trip, and it wasn't a really expensive trip. It was just like an expensive trip.
Mm-hmm.
So the showcase wound up, I mean, it's a tricky showcase, and he put in a surprisingly close bid just on the wrong side of the number.
Yeah.
$300 under instead of $300 over, and he's going to Fiji.
All right.
That's bad for him. He does have $25,000.
So then we had our second showcase, and these are items that will help you outwit, outplay, outlast. Jeff Probst comes back. Scott, you can outwit with this brand new, very horizontal computer monitor.
That's my computer. That's the computer I want and don't have yet. They just gave it to Latrina. What do they do? That's my computer. That's the 34-inch diagonal screen. That's the HP Envy package. $2,695. I won that computer. Giving it to someone else. They're re-gifting my computer. I want it back. No, I don't.
Latrina has a bounty on her head now. Scott is after Latrina.
No, Latrina, you can just give me the cash for it. It's cool. $26.95.
Yeah, there you go. All right. And then we also had the game room and then a brand new hybrid car, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Survivor Fiji, that game room was like the arcade that they visited. It was...
Hold on, how much pizza are they allowed to eat? Is Rocky going to be there to monitor?
All the hot dogs you can eat, and there's a Rocky.
Good. I'm glad you all feel sick. Good.
Does it come with? It comes with Rocky bitching in the corner as you overindulge.
This Survivor Fiji throwback prize package could be yours.
The fan favorite season, Survivor Fiji, about as popular as Sierra from Worlds Apart.
Yeah, and then a hybrid car. Wow, is that Scott? Is this typical for the Price Right to give away a hybrid car?
The Mustang and the Prius are both occasional cars. They're not like cars you never see. Like sometimes they have like Dream Car Week and they bring out some like Porsche or something that they never have on the show. These are cars.
The Porsche is tomorrow. That's not the right version.
By the way, what trip ties into to Big Brother tomorrow? Like what vacation are they giving away?
you got to go visit the Dallas Cowboys
for 90 days.
Gronk cruise.
Gronk.
We're going again on the Gronk cruise.
Yeah, yo, you'll be a VIP at the Ariana Grande concert.
Oh my. They probably are. That's
what else they got.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the bid. Just, you know, Latrina goes right on the nose. 30,000. Boom. Lock it
in. Don't do that. Advice for future contestants. If you get within $250 of the actual price of your showcase, you win them both. And since people are compelled to bid a round number, the price of a showcase is never going to end between zero and 250, because then like someone making a random guess could win them both. So always end your bid somewhere between 250 and 750, but 250 is actually the best way to end your bid. End your bid something $1,250.
Okay, so we come back and we find out that, okay, so the actual bid or the actual retail price of the Suri and Thomas prize package, $32,860, an overbid of just over, what is that, $341?
Sure.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, very close. Continue. Boy. So I'm talk about the greatest player never to win, Mike Bloom. Suri just really can never close the deal.
Well, I think she purposely tanked it in order to keep her visibility low for when she comes back onto the show. I don't want people saying like, well, you know, Suri run that showcase show, that showcase at Survivor Price is Right. We're getting her out ASAP.
Josh Wigler had an interview with Suri to hype up the Survivor Price is Right.
Yeah, it was great. She was super excited. It seemed like oftentimes she was probably as excited, if not more, than some of the contestants up there. So it was cool. It was cool to see, you know, if we couldn't have you up there as both the Price is Right and Survivor Superfan, I'm glad we got Suri up there at least.
Yeah. Mike, which was the bigger prize package that Suri got a chance to look at? This showcase or when Shane Powers had the diaper rash?
Well, one of them was a lot redder. So I think I'm going to go with, I might have to go with the trip to Fiji the last 6 days. Shane's rash might have lasted at least 7. I might have to go with Shane's.
I feel like you only get to be on The Price is Right once in your life. Like, Shane will show you his package anytime you ask.
Okay. All right. And then finally, so it turns out that Joe and Latrina, another really strong bid, $30,769. Joey Amazing and Latrina are the big winners. And congratulations to Joey Amazing, Stand Up to Cancer. They ultimately are the big winners of the night.
Well, I'm curious, you know, for Schadenfreude purposes, I always cheer for both contestants to go over because then nobody has bested me in the showcase department. But would they have? I know that's there. You go. Now you know who I am. But would they still have given money to one of the charities if that had happened, or like the prize is right? Like, well, we're going to just save that money for the charities.
Mike, do you know what were they just matching dollar for dollar, whatever Latrina won, they were going to donate to the charity of whatever survivor where they were paired up with?
So, I mean, what Scott is referring to is like a Donald Trump Celebrity Apprentice type of move of like, you know what? I like you. Even though I'm eliminating you, I'll give you $25,000. I'm assuming that people wouldn't go away without any money going to charity.
Did Trump do that on the show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said.
Well, I didn't realize people he was a wise and generous man.
Well, you know, he should get those clips going viral. I think that'd be a great, Donald Trump has gives prize money to both teams. He is a very equitable and fair judge of talent. Like, hey, I support this message. Yeah, that'd be good. get some of these good apprentice clips.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're few and far between, but get them out.
Joey Amazing is your winner. How does this affect the legacy of Joe Anglim in your mind, Mike?
Well, I mean, he did win something, which, I mean, granted, if there's any sort of competition and you have Joe in there, it's probably like a 70% chance that he will win at it. If he doesn't pass out, the doctors have to respond to him. So, you know, he's pretty much the odds-on favorite going in. It seems like he's just about good at everything, be it random Survivor competitions or The Price is Right. Maybe Joe can take this onto a national game show circuit, and we'll see. He could start raking in cash that way if his Survivor appearances aren't garnering him enough money.
you're moldy.
No, he is not moldy. He is the winner of The Price is Right. So congratulations.
He'll be on shows until he's moldy.
Yeah, congratulations to Joe and Latrina. Do you think that we will be seeing Latrina? Could she potentially, how do you think she would fare on Survivor?
Is she a millennial or a Gen X?
Good question.
Determines it.
That's a good question. Scott, any closing thoughts in terms of what Survivor impressed you with their Price is Right performance?
I guess Jeremy and Natalie and Tina impressed me by not getting involved in this mess. I did like seeing Fabio in the audience. Fabio was there, right? He was. Like,
oh yeah. Can we talk about some of these people in the left out club?
We have. All right. Not too much time, but go ahead.
I mean, Ben Browning, who like totally aged like a good amount,
well,
right?
Yeah. There's like, what is the common denominator to all of these people? The people that were there but not called up on stage. Like, what is the? Is there a through line there?
Yeah, they had nothing better to do on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, I don't know. There are people there, you know, that you haven't seen in forever. People who have like no interest in Survivor, just there to cheer on the other survivors playing Price is Right.
No, again, I feel like we were deprived of a Corinne appearance. I can only imagine how Corinne would have treated Drew Carey when she got up on that stage.
Who knows? All right. So, Mike, what's the hashtag tonight?
I got a list. I feel like it would go a little X-rated if we go with Minaj on Drew, so I'll skip that one. I have Rupert Spot.
Yeah,
I have
Rupert
Bron
Spot.
Sierra.
Let's go with that.
Rupert Spot.
Yeah, let's go with the Rupert Spot. Very excited about that. All right. Scott, of course, is on Twitter at Scott Does Magic. Scott, what else is coming up these days?
I'm going to be, if you're in Chicago, I'll be performing at Magic Chicago. Actually, hey, give me the invitation. Maybe I'll come out and put something together for you guys. But actually, right before then, July 6th, I'll be at Magic Chicago, 7:30 p.m. at stage 773 in Lincoln Park, Lakeview area. So you can find those tickets. And that's just like 2 or 3 days before RapCon. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be out early, you can come check that out. Otherwise, book me for stuff because that's what I do.
We'll see you out there. All right. And of course, Mike Bloom is on Twitter at a Mike Bloom type. I know Mike and I are working on some podcasts this summer. Mike, what else is going on?
Well, actually, I'll be talking Price is Right in a couple days. Actually, you talked in the very beginning about how The Amazing Race will be bringing up the rear, doing a show on Wednesday. So I'm going to get together with what I refer to as the Holy Trinity in myself, Jessica Lease, and Dan Heaton. I love talking with anything Amazing Race with those guys. So we're going to break this all down once again, and I can't wait for the next couple days. Otherwise, I've been talking Shark Tank on reality TV wrap ups. I've been talking Once Upon a Time, Survivor Historians. My voice is out there a lot, so you know there's a lot of things you could probably find me on at this point.
Okay, and then also, yeah, as Mike mentioned, we're going to have coverage of the Big Brother Price is Right as well as the Amazing Race Price is Right on reality TV wrap ups. Jordan Parhar is going to have the next one coming up with Brent Wolgamott. And I know for sure, and I don't know if he has anybody else on that panel, but be sure to look for it on the reality TV wrap ups feed. Also, we've got a lot more coming up here already in the podcast feed that we have the Why Michelle Won podcast with David Bloomberg posted that today. And then also we're going to have some podcasting coming to you from Reno, where I will be at Run It Up Reno with the Price is Right's own Boston Rob Tyson, Stephen Fishback, Josh Wiggler, Anna Kate. I think Coach is supposed to be there. So a very fun podcast should be in the offing this week as well.
Now, will Boston Rob's washer and dryer be there as well?
We will see. We'll ask Boston Rob all of your appliance-related questions at Run It Up Reno.
Ask him if his refrigerator is running.
Hey, smarten up. Smarten up, Scott. All right. Thank you, guys. I have a couple of questions real quick that I totally biffed it on that Scott St. Pierre sent me a couple. We have a couple of questions real quick. Lee wants to know, do the survivors wish they could keep the money? It's not like they're actors or whatever and making Survivor money. Yeah. Mike, how much do you think that
they do with that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I felt bad, because I feel like the people they didn't call up were the ones that needed it the most.
Do you think, did the people who were in the audience that weren't called up, do you think that they were under the impression that there was a chance they were getting called up, Mike?
Again, according to Max Dawson on Twitter, he seemed to believe that everyone who was going to get called up on stage got pulled away at some point in, earlier on. So they pretty much knew, like, okay, we weren't picked for basically glorified seat fillers at this point.
I've heard that for all three of these shows, the contestants who got on were given appearance fees, and that was all arranged in advance. So there were no surprises. The people who came on their own.
Was it a red wedding for the people who were like, you know, when Ben Browning is like, hey, who knows? I might get called up, you know?
The Bonehams send their regards.
Yeah. So we'll see. Okay. So Alice Asselson wants to know, you're officially no longer a casual when half the fans know who you are. You know who half the fans are. That's right. Good question. Okay. Then also Matthew Forsyth wrote in, why did that idiot Matthew listen to the crowd and bid $1? He should have just gone $1 over the highest bid. It's a good point.
Yep. Agreed. Bad move by that guy. What an idiot.
Yeah. This is from Daniel Lindahl. Rob, why is there always this much touching on The Price is Right? It seemed like the survivors are especially handsy tonight.
And well, are you talking about this or Survivor from the past like 3 weeks? Again, I haven't seen it past that point, but it seemed like the point that Survivor was at when I paused it.
Okay. All right. So good questions. All right. So that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Hope we have a lot more fun or as much fun on the Big Brother and the Amazing Race versions coming later this week. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.